Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We have a lot of videos of the podcast and various other tutorials on YouTube. You can subscribe to our channel at mixingmusicpodcast.com/YouTube. Happy mixing and enjoy the show.
One, two, three.
Hello and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK. And today with me, as always, Lou, the forgiven one, Moreno.
I have been forgiven. I have not risen. I have not fallen, but I am forgiven.
2 days ago. No, the last show, or was it the show before that I called you the chosen one?
I think it was the last one.
So because of that, I'm going off of that. If you couldn't tell, I might have a little bit of a slur in my speech and struggle talking a little bit, which may be good, actually, because my tongue is genuinely in pain.
Painful.
I got my COVID vaccine, finally figured it out.
Ad-lib.
Figured out. And while going through my body's recovery of it, I think I got like a cut on my tongue or like a little bacterial infection or something on my tongue. So my tongue is like really swollen, and like I got like a blister on the side of it right now. So it's like it genuinely hurts to talk too much. So I might have a slight, I'm like trying really hard not to have a slur in my speech, but this is unfortunate. You're just gonna have to
look for at all you lucky listeners. You are hearing a unique form of DK. It's called
Licky lips. I'm in freaking pain, DK. My tongue, I can't even eat, bro. Like this is bad. But on that note, I'm gonna shut up for the first time since we've started this show. I got my little Donkey Kong mug. Thank you, Bob Horn. I went to go visit Bob this week.
Nice.
And he gave me this Donkey Kong mug as a gift.
I'm still rocking with the same Lawton cup.
Yes, shout out to Lawton Audio. Also, today's episode, we are dedicating this episode to our newest sponsor of the show.
Da-da-da-da.
Who is it? Oh, shoot. It is
Isotope.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know, we didn't plan that, but it's just nice that we at least said it at the same time.
Yes, we harmonized on accident.
Isotope.
So we're going to talk a little bit about Isotope today, and specifically about a few different things. I'm just going to be totally blatantly honest with you. They wanted us to talk about their new monthly programs that they have. They have a Producers Club and the Music Production Suite Pro.
The latter is what I use.
There you go. Yes, actually, we both use that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're both like a monthly subscription fee thing where you can get a certain amount of their plugins. The Producers Club has like their producer-centric plugins. Nectar, Neoverb, Neutron, Ozone, Tonal Balance, Vocal Synth, Melodyne. Melodyne 5, Essential, which is really dope.
Yeah.
I think that having Melodyne in a monthly subscription like this is not common, so it's really dope.
It's really not, but that's kind of the cool thing. I believe that they've had Melodyne involved for a while, but I know that there's other companies that do other things, but this is actually really nice that aside from giving you some vocal effect tools, they give you some vocal correction tools.
Yes. And then the Music Production Suite Pro, which both Lou and I do have, that has a few more things like Insight, which I've talked a lot about. Actually, that's one of the plugins I want to talk about today. Insight
Tonal
is really
balance
dope.
Control is cool in it too.
Tonal balance control. That's in both of them. The visual mixer. So like if you've seen the ads with the Isotope where you can like, instead of writing faders and regular mixing, you can like place them in a field. It's kind of cool.
What?
So it's kind of like visual mixing.
I haven't tried that one yet.
It's cool. I've never used it as well, but and then there's like they have RX Pro as well. RX is really important, as we've mentioned in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, today we want to talk a little bit about iZotope. And honestly, I'm trying to do less of the talking because every time you let me talk, Lou, you're being mean. And
I just like watching you suffer. You call me a sadist. I don't know.
Oh, no. Okay, so wow, this is so weird that like it hurts to talk because usually I'm really good at talking. But I guess I'll go first and talk about tonal balance control. Do you use Insight?
I don't. Actually, funny enough, I actually started using tonal balance control because of you. I saw how you were using it, not as a strict roadmap of what is balanced out in a mix, but it's kind of a nice tool to remind yourself, like, hey, if you start having it scan the music you're used to listening to, if you're in an unfamiliar room, it's a really good tool to actually have as a reference of where your bass really is, where your mids are. If your top end is a little too chirpy or whatever, it won't tell you how long your reverb tails are and anything. But it's a really nice reference check of like, are you tricking yourself because of the room you're in, because of the new monitors you have, the headphones you're using, like whatever the situation is, it's really nice to know that that's kind of a tool that I originally saw you using it for like 2 seconds. You'd throw it up, double check something, sweep through the frequencies listening into it, which is a really nice feature that's in it because it actually has a very pleasing way of like isolating those little ranges that you're selecting. But it was a really nice way of just making sure like, okay, I'm not overthinking this. Or, you know what? I thought so. I thought I had more bass in this than I usually do.
Yeah. The way that I use it is kind of like a double checker. So first off, the tonal balance control is it's like a frequency analyzer. So there's a lot of companies that have a frequency analyzer, but the nice thing about the tonal balance control is that it's more of like an average RMS peak kind of thing, and it has guides as to what usually you can pick a genre and what the genre usually kind of fits frequency wise. And in the path, you can try to get it to fit in the path, but when I'm using it, my goal is not to get it to fit in the path, but more importantly, like, I use it as a reference to make sure that what I'm hearing is actually what I'm getting. So in my room, most of the time, without trying, without having to double check, my frequency spectrum is showing me exactly what I'm hearing. If there's a dip in the mids, I usually did that on purpose. On the opposite hand, if I didn't mean to dip the mids, but I'm seeing on the scale, on the tonal balance control, that the mids are dipped, then I'm definitely going to make some adjustments. So it's kind of like a reference as to what I'm doing on purpose or trying to do on purpose.
Yeah, the funny thing is I tend to leave it on, what is it called, the bass heavy setting? Because it's almost like a straight line curve downward. But I kind of have learned what my mixes look like in that graph. To where I'm like, okay, I usually like having a little more top end than what this graph is showing, or a little less in the like 200-300 range or something. But it's kind of funny. You don't have to necessarily rely on these curves to say anything about like, oh, if you're doing country music, like you have to have this much top end or typically this and that, because you could actually import a song. You can actually have it analyzed like an external file. But the coolest thing is that, let's say you were to compare like a J. Cole record versus a Cisco record, two completely different artists, two completely different genres, you'll notice that the curves are wildly different. So if you just use it, just like DK said, like a roadmap, it's not going to be the greatest use of it, but rather start learning what mixes you do like. You can actually load a batch of them, which is kind of cool. You can actually do a batch scan, which is like take 10 songs that you really like put some Michael Jackson, some Quincy, throw some Beastie Boys if you want. And if they all kind of fit a lane or something, it's going to map out what it thinks is the best representation of it. But it's kind of a good tool to know, like, hey, I'm really just trying to get close. I'm not trying to get exact, but as long as I have a similar sense, then this tool is a great representation of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, and I do think that you glossed over a part that I think is very important. You can actually upload. You said you can actually upload your own audio file.
Yeah.
So if you download or have an audio file of your reference tracks, you can actually upload the file. It'll change the course of the the mapping frequency spectrum, mm-hmm. the map's frequency spectrum in like the goal area, which is really cool. I've done that before in the past. It's very cool, especially for songs where the reference is really weird. On that note, if you're listening right now, I do want to mention, they've asked us to mention, we do have a 10% off coupon for all of our listeners from iZotope.
Save that money. Take the discount.
Yeah, so the 10% off does not work on the subscription models, but it does.
Or Aspire, I believe, right?
Yeah, the Spire.
Studio,
yeah,
right?
Like the actual physical
interface
looking thing. They do have 10% off. If you go to iZotope.com/MMPodcast. Once again, that's iZotope.com/MMPodcast and use the code MMPod10. One more time, that's MMPod10. Use that, you get 10% off any of their stuff other than the subscription and Spire. We appreciate you checking them out.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
With that said, because I believe it's not a single use, but I believe it's when you do it at checkout, I don't know if it's on a single item or if it's on the total cart, but if you did have to recommend one plugin or plugin bundle that's there that you can use a coupon, like I already know what I would recommend it on, but what would be your favorite plugin that's out right now? Or what would you say is the most useful for anyone that maybe is unfamiliar with iZotope? Which one do you think made the biggest difference for you?
Oh, that's really hard. I think the classic one would be Neutron, just because it does have everything. It's got compression, saturation, as modules, exciters. It's got EQ, dynamic EQ, and it's meant for mixing. They do have like automatic things as well, so you can click one click of the button, it'll like automatically make something down. Although for me and if I was talking to me, someone like me, a little bit more experienced, I would say Ozone Pro.
Yeah, Ozone is definitely where I'm landing.
Ozone Pro for sure, and not the standard, the Pro, because the ones that come with it, the vintage, mm-hmm. the vintage limiter, vintage compressor, the vintage tape simulator, as well as low end focus.
That'd be advanced, right?
The Pro or the Advanced.
Pro is the
Advanced,
is the,
Ozone 10, yeah. The new one, which is Ozone 10 Advanced mm-hmm. or Ozone Pro, has like the master rebalance, which is amazing for two tracks, just cool utilities.
Yeah.
Where if you don't have a lot of plugins before and you don't have a lot of utility, then I would say that Neutron is your best like starting first pack.
Mm-hmm.
But if you already have a bunch of plugins and you already know what you're doing, I would say Ozone Pro or Ozone Advanced.
I know we've talked about Ozone a lot in the past too, especially because of Master Rebalance, about how we use it as almost like not necessarily a repair tool, but at the same time that just as well. You know, when we get sent songs to master or something, vocals may be a little low or vocals may be too loud compared to the music and they want us to even it out in the master. It's like, well, we don't really have a lot of control over that, but the master rebalance in that, really cool for that. But my favorite tool personally has to be the low end focus.
I do like the low end focus.
That's a really cool tool. It
can
be
you overdone. Describe, can you describe what it sounds like or what you had to guess that it's doing?
If I had to guess, it's a transient designer and a sidechain compressor at the same time, and it's frequency dependent.
Yeah.
You can.
It also kind of feels like it's doing something with phase too.
A little bit. So that's kind of where I think it kind of adds that contrast.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more than anything, it's got to be a combination of that transient designer and sidechain, because I feel like it's adding some punch to the center frequency. It knows how to find that one transient frequency. If you just highlight it, it'll help you find it too, because it'll start to highlight certain areas that it may be adding contrast to. But if you notice, like the surrounding frequencies seem to duck a little bit. Like I want to say that it ducks the sides while boosting the transient.
Hmm.
You know, it's kind of like a give and take relationship, almost like the Poltec low end trick, which is you boost and cut the low end at the same frequency.
But what is it? What does it do? Like, I guess what does the plugin do for anybody that's never heard of it?
So the contrast tool to me sounds like it's adding a lot more punch. If you ever wanted clarity between your kick and bass, one, that's more in the mix than it is in the master. But when you're mastering a song, and let's say that there's enough clarity to where you can distinguish that there is a punch to the kick, but you're trying to bring it out a little more, you can actually use the contrast tool, raise the contrast up, and actually have it make it stand out more. Lower the contrast tool and have it blend in. The smooth tool actually kind of acts like that Motown R&B, that neo soul glue between kick and bass, where they really kind of play together as one transient when they hit the note together or the downbeat together, and it really smooths over the transient.
Yeah,
it's
really
cool.
And you can have more contrast or you can have less contrast, because I think we've also had mixes or masters that we've had to do where the kick was just outrageously too loud.
Yeah, at that point, lower the contrast. That'd be great.
And that's a really cool, low end focus is a really cool module. So Ozone and Neutron, they're both like a suite of plugins, but they have, you can use the individual plugins by itself, or you can kind of use their Neutron or Ozone suite plugin where you can insert their different modules.
And they're kind of slightly overlapping modules, but very different at the same time, like the harmonic distortion tool, both in Neutron and Ozone. So Neutron, I recently started using.
I use the Transient Designer in Neutron all the time.
You know, I haven't tried that one yet, but I want to say that's
similar. Like my go-to kick. That's my go-to kick Transient Designer.
You know, for me, it's always been like the classic like SPL units. You know, I used to have the hardware here, but ever since I got rid of it, like I've been looking for something good.
Yeah, because the Neutron one, it's, you can split the frequencies.
Okay.
So you can say you can boost the attack and cut the sustain of anything 100 hertz and below. You can, obviously it's like infinitely scale, like you can stretch it out wherever you want to be. So in my like my kick template thing that I've made, it was like 80 to 100 hertz and below. And I have like 100 to 200 hertz, and then like 100 to 350 or something like that, and like 300 and on. So like I set up like the low sub frequencies for the kick, the actual like the chesty thump, and like the top end, and then I kind of like do the Transient Designer separately across those three frequencies. That's pretty common for me.
Nice. I tend to actually do more saturation for Transient Design. I found myself doing a lot more saturation in my kicks and bass to get them to hit harder and to stand out. So I'm kind of curious to try this Transient Designer inside of Neutron. But honestly, similar to that, I just focus on frequency dependent. And then I try to actually see what type of saturation works best. You know, some people say, oh, I love the way my kick and bass sounds through tape. Some people say, I like the way it sounds through tubes. It adds grit. It adds a boxiness to it.
You use the saturation stuff on Ozone all the time. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's almost on every master that I do.
How do you use it? Because I like the way that you use it. What's kind of like your end goal with it?
My end goal is to add what I seem to have forgotten to add in the beginning, or couldn't in a gluing sense. My goal is to actually glue with saturation more than it is to make it nasty, because sometimes I want to make it nasty. Sometimes I go overboard with the saturation on purpose. Like 808s sometimes are just a little too pretty, and because of that, I think I've made this reference. My cell phone, my iPhone, is the NS10 of iPhones. Like it just it's so disgusting.
It's so bad. Why is your speaker, it's his speaker on his iPhone is broken. I don't know why.
Like if it was a visual representation, consider broken teeth, the visual representation. Like somebody just went to McDonald's, bought a cheeseburger, and you're like, how is he going to eat that with no teeth? That's my phone. So basically, the way I like to use it is more like, if I can't hear it on my phone, the 808, chances are it needs a little bit of grit to stand out a little more, right? So I tend to use more of the tube saturation on anything that's about like, sometimes I go as high as like 120 hertz and below, but generally speaking, about 100 hertz and below. And on that one, I actually like to use the tube saturation to get some of that. Like I want those upper harmonics. I don't want the lower harmonics. The lows already sounded great. I just wanted to resonate a little bit higher. But the cool thing is then I switch over to the low mids, which is my like 100 to like 400 hertz, maybe 600 on the high. But I'm really just trying to get that like range, and add a little bit of grit to that. So I'll either do tape, I'll do triode, or I'll do warm.
Which are, by the way, the saturation thing, you could divide up the frequencies, which ones you want to saturate, as well as you can just like change up the style of saturation. So they have tape mode, warm mode.
Triode, dual triode. They have warm, pentode. They have analog, pentode.
Like a bunch of different options for different types of saturation.
Yeah, they even have a loose setting. I'm just kidding, but please make that isotope. That'd be nice.
Yeah, and for reals though, like it is really, really flexible, which is why I think we end up tending to use it.
Yeah, because the warm setting, sometimes I'll use that on my upper mids, but on my lower mids, it's nice because it adds kind of like a pillowy fluff. Like it's almost like a blur, because sometimes, you know me, I focus a lot on my low mids. I like adding clarity, but sometimes it's too clear, so I just need to disgusting it up a little bit. But in a nice, pleasing way, their warm setting is nice. But the triode setting adds a nice little bit of grit and bite to where if you really wanted to add excitement to low mid vocals, like backing vocals or like rap doubles where maybe you have like three stacks of doubles on top of a lead and you're really trying to make them sound aggressive, that triode setting in the low mids is really nice. On the upper mids, like I said, warm analog or triode works well, but analog works really well on the top end. It actually adds a little bit of pops and clicks, funny enough, which sometimes is pleasing. If you add the right amount, when you add the right amount, like it actually rounds off the transient on the top end.
That's interesting. I need to try that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the vintage drive as well. I use that a lot. Mm-hmm. The vintage tape emulation on Ozone. Yeah. I use that like during mixing all the time, as well as sometimes on the master. And I love that thing. It's very clean. I keep using other tape emulations, and I just keep going back to that one because it's very neutral, or you can have it be very colorful depending on the options. I would say the one problem with it is that it's a little bit, has too many options, has a lot of options. But if you already know, like if you're a little bit more experienced, a little more seasoned, and you know exactly what type of tape sound that you want. So instead of like guessing where you want it to go, you kind of already have an idea. I can't think of any other better tape plugin. It's one of my favorites for sure. You can really drive it, distort it. You can have a really big low-end emphasis or high-end emphasis.
You could really smash some snares with it too.
Oh, yeah.
And like on a drum bus. Really nice.
Oh, yeah. It's so nice. So nice. So I do think that that's really one of my favorites in the Ozone suite.
Have you ever used it to actually kind of elongate the reverb that's on that bus?
No. Hold on. Wait, what?
So using the distortion to make little details in that bus stand out a little more. Kind of like parallel compression.
Like a drum bus, you said?
Yeah. So like if your snare needed to ring out a little more, but you're really trying to crush it too. Instead of doing parallel compression aggressively with an 1176, sometimes really slamming it into a tape saturation tool and then bringing back the mix knob, you'll notice that your tails get a little bit longer too.
There you go. That would make sense. I need to try that with the vintage tape.
Honestly, a lot of what we're talking about is the goodness of saturation that they have. But the one thing that Nobody likes to talk about, I know there's a love-hate thing on this, but I love their dynamic EQ, specifically for the mid-range and for ducking it. I probably use two bands, maximum three at a time when I'm doing mastering using the Ozone dynamic EQ. Reason being is that it actually has a much smoother way than some other brands' dynamic EQ tools at taking harshness away from the mids. Like, I know some people want to boost or cut from the highs. Some people leave it untouched. I know a lot of people that leave their highs untouched when they use Ozone unless they're doing some saturation. But I actually really like it for taking harshness or honkiness out of the mids. Something where you're like, I need this kind of bite to come through for the mix to stay this way, but maybe there's a plugin like Soothe that's out there that's supposed to take harshness away. It doesn't always do that great, but this thing does it in such a unique way that it's almost smooth. It's weird. Like, nobody ever can tell that I'm using it.
That's amazing. Yeah, no, I know a lot of different engineers that have different EQs and dynamic EQs for different flavors and sounds. So I think that's interesting. I need to use that a little bit more often. On that note, I just, before we kind of close, I want to talk about one of my favorite ones, other than Tonal Balance, because I do use Tonal Balance Control a lot, is Insight. Usually those two stay on my master bus side by side. Tonal Balance Control is kind of like mapping and monitoring the spectrum, the spectrum, the balance of the frequencies in the mix. And Insight is mapping and watching, monitoring the loudness.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot of other modules in it, but I mostly look at the loudness meter, the LUFS, the loudness units full scale, the LUFS.
Oh, that LUFS Lou.
Luffy Lou.
Actually, I'm going to make a name tag of that.
There you go. I'm Luffy Lou.
Thank you, Isotope, for the idea.
But they also have like a bunch of like different sort of like spectrograms and analyzers to kind of analyze the master as well as while you're printing. And I use that as kind of like my master analyzer for everything. I do use it every single mix. That and Tonal Balance Control are the two that I use every single mix regardless, because they are great for monitoring and kind of keeping up, making sure that my mixes are sounding the way that I want them to sound. So on that note, if you're listening, once again, that website for that 10% discount is isotope.com/mmpodcast. One more time, isotope.com/mmpodcast, or use the coupon code mmpod10. We'll also have it on our website, macymusicpodcast.com, where if you click on our sponsors list, you will find them. It'll take you directly to that link. So thanks again, Isotope, for sponsoring.
Thank you a lot.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about them at least once every episode for the next few months. We're thankful, we're blessed, and we're grateful to have you on board. On that note, my friends, if you have any questions about mixing or about Isotope or anything like that, feel free to DM us on Instagram at DK Mixes, DEEKEIMIXES, or at
Midside Sound. MIDSIDESOUND?
Question mark. I know some people keep messaging the Mixing Music Podcast Instagram, which I do not update, nor do I check very often. So
nor
I apologize.
I.
It's better if you just DM us directly. So on that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
1, 2, 3.
Is episodes once a week not enough for you, or are you looking for more technical information from the Mixing Music Podcast? Well, guess what? Now you can. You can subscribe to our exclusive content and triple the amount of episodes that you get access to. That's right. Instead of the free once a week episodes, you get 3 episodes a week for only $4 a month or $40 a year. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive to get access to those episodes now.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.